Because in 1 year of right living, you're going to naturally learn a little bit. But you can also unlearn a lot of things at the same time. That's why just living is really dicey. Kriya is better. And you see, it's very mathematical. Now, what was I trying to say? Oh, I was talking about how you relate to the unknown pains. This is what I was going to say. Sometimes it's not really safe to just dive into the whirlpool because you can just get sucked right down. Our friend Shraddha at Ananda Village was in her kayak and it flipped, and you know, she just got sucked under. She really thought she was going to drown. In fact, she had accepted that she was going to drown, and suddenly she popped to the surface. Very interestingly, she lost her astrological bangle. Her life was saved, but her bangle was sucked off her arm. Strange, isn't it? She's certain that the bangle, you know, was sacrificed to save her life. But in any case, however, if you focus toward higher consciousness by the practice of Kriya and all the other practices that go with it, or any kind of meditation, what happens is that these buried vortices of experience, which is hopes, disappointments, joys, everything, they're buried way down in the sand like this. And just like my little pins would respond to my magnet, every time that magnetism comes up, they scoot a little closer to the surface. But they come to the surface in exact proportion to the upward flow of energy. And they can't come to the surface. They remain buried until there is enough upward flowing energy to reveal them. Now, another way of putting that is God will never give you a test greater than you can handle. This is the metaphysics of why that is true. Because it will remain buried until the flow of the river actually brings it out of the muck of your past experiences. And when the flow of the river is strong enough to actually bring it to the surface, either as a memory, as a dream, as a sudden realization, as a nervous breakdown, as a karmic bomb, whatever way, actually karmic bomb is a term of art, by the way. That's one of those things that happens. It's just you're living and all of a sudden a karmic bomb goes off. Swami even uses that word, just like Nitai described one perfectly. I mean, this was a physical experience, but he was. It might have been the Grand Canyon or something like that. He was somewhere. He was looking at some beautiful scene and gradually just moving imperceptibly, like I was about to do, just a little bit. And he was moving closer and closer to this huge sign. And then all of a sudden he turned to speak like that and just smashed his head, you know, really badly on this sign. It was just like everything was beautiful and then wham, just like that. And we've all had those experiences. Somebody gives us a piece of bad news or something physical like that. A karmic bomb just goes off. Everything is different. But it really wasn't sudden. It was being gradually drawn to the surface by whatever forces we were living with. Okay? So we don't have to go in with a shovel. What we do have to go in with is we have to go into a deeper attitude of devotion and surrender to God. You see, the details are less important. What you really want to build is you want to build this positive flow of magnetism, because then anything that's hidden will automatically come forward. And it doesn't hurt if you really need help, you know, but be careful. Be careful that whatever kind of exploration you do is done in a context and in such a way that simultaneously you're building the capacity to raise the vibration and not merely burden yourself with too much sorrow, self-understanding, grief, whatever it might be. You see, it's a very delicate line. Okay? Any questions or thoughts about that? I love this. I love the little bits of karma coming out of the sand with the magnet of Kriya. I just sort of see them all in there, just inching their way to the surface. That's why also people say you don't have to, that's why Kriya is, you solve every problem with Kriya. Because all a problem is simply a vortex of energy in the spine. Do Kriya and you'll dissolve those vortexes, just like over here. When the when the whirlpool gets drawn into the river, it just ceases to exist. You never even have to know it was there. Because this is just intellectual knowledge. The real point of your intellectual knowledge is to not have it anymore. It's not to become an expert on it. It's just to know about it so it'll go away. And you can just make it go away with Kriya. But you have to be doing that not because you're afraid. If the motivation for your Kriya is fear of having to face yourself, sooner or later, that bit of karma will come out of your spine and hit you in the face. We've watched that at Anand over, you know, the advantage of being at Anand all these years is you get to see the result of attitudes. And people will come thinking that this is a shortcut and that they're going to be able to avoid all the icky stuff. You know, I don't really introspect, I just meditate. Meaning, I don't really have the nerve to really know who I am. I'm just going to pretend that I'm this great yogi. And sooner or later, something happens and whammo, this doesn't work. You don't have to worry about it. It's absolutely honest. It'll work itself out. So, once a person becomes more self-aware, morally asleep, there's just very little self-awareness. Everything is reactive and about just being unconscious. You can move all the way up to the stage of being self-centered, which is really progress. Because at least now, you've got more energy. And you can become to be, you know, creative in your responses to things. I don't mean creative in the sense of, you know, terrifically original. I just mean that you're not just reacting, you're also acting upon the world. But at this stage of thinking, all of your acting upon the world is inclined to be self-concerned. And this is the stage at which people tell you, and it's an appropriate stage. You must let people know what you need. You have to define your boundaries and state what you have to have. You mustn't let people just run over you. Now, at a certain point, to have the energy to be self-centered is progress. Now, we have to, I say that, you have to really say that, because sometimes you'll have a deep problem in your life that is based on the fact that you don't have the courage or the energy even to be self-centered, to really say, look, this is what I really have to have here. And sometimes you'll pretend that you're really selfless, but you're not really selfless. You're just scared to death and frozen and just reacting and hoping never to have to put out the energy by being unconscious. It's a form of unconsciousness to pretend that I don't really have any desires. This is where, you know, sort of martyrdom comes from. Or a lot of times people who are raised by alcoholics or influenced by alcoholic environments have to establish a self. And then sometimes they'll come into spiritual places because they have this terror of having a self, and the spiritual jargon makes them think they never have to have one. But you can't skip the stage of being self-centered. You know, there has to be enough energy to value and stand up for that. So it's not always backwards. And so when we're trying to resolve these issues within us, if you've only been trying to be unconscious about your actual reality, sometimes it's progress just to declare it. I'm just not that good. I can't put up with it. I don't want to take it anymore. Sometimes that's right. It is really the right thing to do. There's other characteristics, but let me just get the ones that matter. The basic motivation for this state of life is a really simple one, which is what we call looking out for number one. Looking out for self. And sometimes you have to solve your problems and you have to overcome your difficulties, not by being selfless, but by just looking out and protecting yourself. Being selfless is not appropriate. It's too big a step. It's not sincere. Sometimes you just have to say, I can't give, this is what I have to do. And the way that we try to avoid pain in this particular stage of awareness is by controlling what's going on around us. By controlling the environment, which includes other people, money, power, all those different qualities. And a lot of times, you know, we get really hurt because we've been trying to avoid our suffering by controlling what's going on around us, and people escape from our grip. We try to control our kids. We try to control whether we get fired or not. We try to control whether there's earthquakes. We just try to control. Because at this stage, we've moved to the stage from trying to be unconscious to being willing to be creative and to put out energy to protect ourselves by controlling our environment. Now, the problem with all these stages is they're progressive and they're helpful for a while, but they're not ultimately the truth. And so sooner or later, the soul has to pass through these. So we talked about the first stage where we suffer and we're hurt because we just want to be unconscious. We just have tried to avoid. And then that doesn't work anymore, and we begin to grow spiritually, and we become aware of things, but we just want to be unconscious, and that's where all the pain comes from, is we just don't want to know it. So we wake up to the fact that we can't, but we're willing to put out energy, but the energy is to tell other people how they're supposed to be. You know, we're married, and when you're married, this is what you do, and this is how you behave, and this is what I expect from you, or you're my daughter, and this is what I want. You know, I'm your mother, you're my mother, this is what, you know, it goes all directions. I was so amused in my first years of Ananda. Overall, the majority of people at Ananda are essentially this one karmic group. I mean, not by all means everyone, but there's a big group of us who are very similar in age. So when we were all in our 20s, the big problem was that our parents really objected to what we were doing. But then as people started coming who were of the same karmic group but didn't arrive until their 50s, their kids were freaked out. It was just so funny to me to have these, you know, parents come, and their concern was that their children were really upset about this weird cult that they were getting involved in. At first when it happened, I just couldn't stop laughing. We'd been those kids and our parents were freaked. How did it all get turned around? But it's all just trying to avoid pain by controlling the environment. And you can even put it in terms of, you know, it's not good for you. But I recall, and I'll use my taking care of my parents because it was such an incredible teacher for me. I remember really trying to get my mother to do something because it was so inconvenient for me. You know, I knew what was going to happen was that the system that she was relying on was going to break down, and if I didn't have a backup in place, then it was going to be so inconvenient for me. And I was just trying so hard to force her to make certain decisions which weren't against her interests but were entirely in my interests. I was trying to avoid the pain by controlling the environment that was around me. That's all. And, you know, think how upset people get when things go out of control, how frightened people get. The earthquake, I was talking about it here or somewhere not too long ago, decades ago, but just having standing on the ground and having the ground roll, it just so deconstructed everything that we rely on for me. I just completely, it wasn't even so much that it scared me as that it just stunned me. I absolutely did not know where to go with that experience until it was too short for me to actually get my, you know, get centered. I just remained completely and utterly confused by the whole thing. I mean, the one thing you really want to stay in place is the earth itself, for heaven's sakes. What's very interesting about this is that a great deal of what people consider to be political activism, altruism, and so on, is actually just the second stage of development. You know, nuclear war scares me. I want people to stop having nuclear weapons. Global warming scares me. I want them to stop having so many emissions. The death of the rainforest disturbs me. I want them to stop. And it's not so much that there is no trace of higher thinking in that. But for many people, it's a fear-based reaction based on this second stage of development that if I can control the environment, I won't suffer anymore. Which is why a lot of times when people get on the spiritual path, they just absolutely drop politics. Even if they've been avidly political in the conventional outward sense. And oftentimes, their old political buddies really deplore the spiritual path because it appears to them paradoxically that the person has become unconcerned and self-centered. But often what's happened is they have simply understood that you cannot control the world around you, and that is not the way to avoid pain. In fact, you begin to control yourself, which we'll move there in just a moment. But so many things that we consider to be an outrage against us that we carry with so much energy about what they did to us is just really the disappointment of this level of consciousness. Now, the reason I'm putting it out here, 1, 2, 3, 4, is so that we'll see, but this is only the second level of development. And the reason we're grievously hurt by people is so that we'll move past this. Because, you know, people don't give up on consciousness as the way to avoid pain until it no longer works. I mean, it's as simple as that. If unconsciousness works, hey, let's all do it. But the problem is, the very, very simple problem, is that it doesn't work. You know, and people will drink themselves into oblivion for lifetimes. Until finally, you know, still, the consequences of doing that and all different kinds of forms of pain, they just come in. I mean, every recovered addict, whatever they were addicted to, knows that it didn't work. The pain came anyway. So then they begin to start trying to control. I mean, you just progress, and not in straight lines, but in all sorts of ways. You don't necessarily go directly to here. But people grow up, and then they start trying to make things happen for themselves, and they just get their worlds all set up. And many very, very successful business people and people with these big mansions and all these things, this is what they're doing. I'm going to make a perfect world for myself. But they're creative, they're energetic, they're doing it. But this is still behind it. And sooner or later, because it's not the truth. This is still, it's not that God hates us, it's just simply not true. All right? Because the world cannot be controlled, will not be controlled. Questions or comments or? Yes. No, it can dissolve. You can burn is a good word, dissolve is the word, because if the energy of the river going straight up to the spiritual eye is stronger than the vortex of energy trying to go out at any other level, it literally gets absorbed and converted. When magnetism, two kinds of magnetism meet, the stronger magnetism converts the lesser magnetism into itself. So when the upward moving energy of the Kriya meets the outward or downward moving energy of old karma, if the upward moving energy, two things will happen. It may come to the surface and then you have to live through it, or it comes to the surface and is simply absorbed into the upward moving energy, which is why as you progress on the spiritual path, you'll have periods of time where you, without you having any idea of why, you'll just feel a shift in your consciousness. Maybe you'll get happier, maybe you'll get more energetic, maybe you'll feel less anxious. It may manifest in external ways, maybe things will just start going better, or you just feel different. And it's almost like kind of like a chunk. It happens in little chunks that you're just going along, and then there's kind of an incremental shift that you don't know where it came from. And where it is that some whirlpool that was draining energy suddenly got added to the main flow. And you may never have any idea what happened, why, what karma was dissolved. It's just you feel freer because you have more energy going in the way you're trying to go and less pulling away from it. That's why you just long, steady, patient application of willpower, endurance on the spiritual path always pays off. That's why I was talking last night to a different group of, it's just very important to just have the right habits and stick to them. And don't stop and say, oh, I'm not getting much out of it, this isn't working. You just keep adding the right energy in, and gradually it simply works. It's mathematical.